There are five things that makes fire a must, and a generation must have that witness of fire. Number one, there will be no witness of God in the land except as the flames are rekindled. And when I talk about the witness of God, I don't say it casually. If you step into any territory, you will discover that the texture of that civilization reveals the character of the spirit that power it. This is one of the intelligence we discovered as we studied the scripture. In Daniel chapter 9, we saw that Daniel decided to embark on a fast to find out why Israel will remain in captivity. From a peripheral standpoint, you would think it was an obsession of the rulers of the time. It was when Daniel began to press in the spirit that we discovered there were princes in the heavenlies that were creating the structure of that civilization. And so bondage is not actually the way of Nebuchadnezzar. Bondage is a character of the prince of Persia. And when the prince of Persia is enthroned over a territory, whoever is sitting on the throne is a puppet that will insist on bondage. When you come to a land that was once a land of revival, and you can no longer see the flames, all you see now are movements that journey in the path of perversion. Know that there has been a different kind of enthronement in the spirit. And until a new witness comes and the prince is at the throne, that which God intends to do in this land will only remain a history. A generation of fire is the generation that can bring witnesses that can dethrone princes. Daniel began to intercede, and we saw that the prince of Persia was carrying out an activity. Now, when you study the New Testament, Paul revealed to us three ways of bringing witness that can dethrone princes. Number one is by the revelation of the authority of the believer. He said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21 that Christ is seated in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he said we are seated with him. So on the strength of our authority in Christ, through priesthood, we can contend and insist on the heritage of a land because we are seated far above principalities. The second technology Paul introduced is in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, wherewith you will be able to withstand all the wiles of the devil. And he told us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That means there is a wrestling that takes place. The only way you can fight those princes is either by exercising your believer's authority or by putting on the whole armor of God. And then the third way Paul revealed to us is by the testimony of fire. He said he maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, they are flames of fire. The reason you have a Bible college here but there's no revival is because this thing is more than biblical exegesis. You need a testimony of fire. The way you fight princes is by burning with a flame that they cannot discern. You know, when the prince fell in Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 17, the Lord judged him and said, I will cause fire to come out of you and burn you to ashes. So when a man shows up with fire, it reminds him of the judgment that was put upon him from the heavens. This is why a generation must carry fire. If we will change the operations of the land and enthrone the ways of God again. See, fire is not negotiable. It's a witness. It's a witness both in the realm of God and in the realm of spirits. In the realm of God, it purifies, but in the realm of demons, it torments. And so if a generation will tell the devil, get back from our borders, it's beyond arguing intelligently in the parliament. Men of fire must rise. If we have just 24 of them standing at different gates in this land, you will discover that some of the trends you see will die a natural death. If you don't see fire, it means the number, the quorum, the ranking of witnesses is depleted. The first reason for fire is to bring a witness that has the stature to establish the government of God. The second reason we need fire is because our potentials in Christ can't manifest without fire. For you to shine, you must burn. He said it was a burning and a shining light. See, we come with certificates from Harvard, certificates from Oxford. That's important. There is a place where we use that for negotiation. But before you carry a certificate, you must have a credential in the spirit. And the credential we have is that we are the sons of light. There is something we carry that cannot be taught in Oxford University. There is something we carry that cannot be taught in Cambridge. And every one of us must appear before the coals of fire until our elements are activated. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his flame filled the temple. And suddenly, a prophet that had a certificate from a Bible school, encountered the seraphims. And he said, with full wings, they covered their faces. Two wings, they covered their feet. I said, with two wings, they fly. And when they came to him, he said, they touched his tongue with one of the coals of fire. And he was purged. Listen, if all we have is what the world gave us, then our testimony will be at their level. We cannot contend beyond their rank. But there is something we have from heaven. We don't only have the things that universities give. We have things that the world cannot deny. They are the lightings of the spirit that dwells on our inside. But how can you shine? The only way to shine is to burn. He said concerning John, he said he was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing to stay under his light for a season. The light shone so bright that the Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. Why do you think our churches are dry? Why do you think the territory is becoming desolate? There are no priests that are burning. But see, a generation is rising that will say, this thing is beyond Sunday morning. I will meet them in the market. I will meet them in the university. I will meet them on the street. And the more you shine, the more the flames of heaven will touch them. This is why we are gathered. This is not another Christian gathering. This is a convergence point where fire must touch you. That part of you that must be touched with fire so that the brightness of his glory will manifest. You must be touched in that part. Why do we crave for fire? Number three, fire awakens our seasons in God. We have seasons. We have times. We have dispensation. And this is another season in God's calendar. But it will take fire for it to happen. Before John manifested, he had to wait until the fire came upon him. There was a prophecy that he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. But he never manifested until he began to burn. The moment he began to burn, his season came alive. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, walked for 33 years. He waited for the fire to descend. The moment the fire came, he began to burn. And when the apostles were about to step out, they said, don't go with textbooks. Don't go with lecture notes. Don't go with tales of fraternity. Don't go telling people that I was with Jesus in Galilee. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. If the fire does not come upon you, your season cannot appear. And the Bible said, they were in the upper room in one accord until the day of Pentecost. And they said, suddenly they heard a sound from heaven. And they said, cloven tongues as of fire rested upon them. Immediately the season opened. So it takes fire for your season to appear. Most of you are overdue where you are staying, but there's no fire to awaken your season. God has told you that you will conquer the United Kingdom. God has told you that you will shine in Swansea. God has told you that your ordination will speak. But where is the fire that pets your season? Where is the fire that awakens your season? This is why you cannot sleep. It's a woe unto him that is at ease in Zion. We must press until the fire begins to shine.
Why do you need fire? Number four, it is a testimony of divine approval. Every time God approves of a man or a generation, he seals it with a flame. Every time the sacrifice is put on the altar and God receives it, he seals it with a flame. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 to 24, when the offering was put on the altar, the Bible said in verse 24 that the flame of fire came down and licked it up. So when you find a man burning, it's a token of divine approval on his life. And so if our generation is approved of God, the way God will show it is by releasing fire upon us. And that fire will cause us no longer to walk by our human propensities, but by the powers of the spirit that is locked up on our inside. So we will no longer know any man after the flesh. We will know men after the dimensions that they represent. Because when God approves of you, he commissions you with a mandate. He commissions you with a dimension. He commissions you with a power. That is what you take to your world. This is why you must insist. You will not watch people receive fire here tonight. You must carry your own flame. You must carry your own dimension. You must carry your own from heaven, because it's available for everyone. When the fire fell on the day of Pentecost, nobody left without it. You will not live here tonight unless you catch your own fire. You will not live here tonight unless the flame rests upon you. You will not live here tonight until the fire falls upon you.
Thank you for watching this video. We trust you have been tremendously blessed. To get more messages by Apostle Michael Oropo, kindly join our Telegram channel by following the link on your screen. Your life will never remain the same. God bless you.